Blog Talk Radio.
Working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
Try to read some of these memos and see which way we'll take it
Heart, number 42. All right, good enough. This time it's Tibbs and bring him in, and we'll get this broadcast going, part number 42. All right, so when you meet your brother, with a loud voice you say, Brother Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh be to El Sini Royal.
And Yahweh bless you, Brother Tibbs, Brother C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mr. Tibbs. Well, according to the stats, all the countries is lining up. 195 international countries got a slot in. That means they got an ear in on part number 42. And it's flashing out of New York, 102-849. So you take it from there while we look through these memos and see exactly what we're going to do on our part when our turn. Mr. Tibbs, you on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother Tibbs. And thank you for inviting me into tonight's class of a large number, which is 102,849 listeners that came to hear the word of Yahweh. You know, basically, what we have been doing, we have been talking about seasoned people, and we're looking at probably a parable maybe to get that in order with what we do. An example I'm going to give before we start the broadcast. You think about this. When you are a football player or in the military and you are a seasoned person, before you're a seasoned person, you're called a rookie. Usually nobody wants to be around a rookie because rookies are trying to gain experience and they're usually dangerous in their practices. Remember, school teacher, a substitute, something else you can compare that to. It's not the original experienced or seasoned teacher. I explained it this way to make a point. Now, after you have gained experience and you've been trained and have time under your belt, you'll probably win a game. Be able to teach without stumbling over your words. Or in the army, train to do a job and stay alive. Now, the story of a seasoned son that was taught by his father and what he ought to say is shown in the Bible, in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 49. 49 says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but my Father which sent me, that he gave me a commandment or instructions what I should say and what I should speak." So now seeing seasoning in the Bible, it follows the Bible protocol from what we understand. How the word comes from the Father to the Son, to the minister spirit, to the seer, to create teaching his word unto you. So we are all seasoned players in Yahweh's word, nurtured in what we ought to say unto you. Not politically tutored, like the gentleman Tim Scott, to subdue our awareness of America not being a racist country. So as you begin to relish in your mind Yahweh's word, you start to become aware of deceptive people trying to pull you in another direction, overly wordy and different teachings. I even had a gentleman give me a pictorial comparison of angels and aliens. Can you believe that? With doctrine on how they may have created men. Well, being somewhat seasoned myself, not as much experience as the others which teach here, I reminded him neither angel or alien had a hand in man's creation, only Yahweh. I say, so I replied to him, "You believe in the Bible, correct, sir?" "Yeah, yes." I said, "Okay, open your book. Let's see what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So he read 27. It says, "So Yahweh created man in his own image. In the image of Yahweh, he created him. Male and female, he created them." I says, "Okay, you see that?" So at this point, he's quiet now. I haven't heard from him in a few days. He's probably somewhere warming up for his next conversation that he wants to have with me. That's why I say you have to be word up in Yahweh's teaching to remember As I said before, the teacher always has to show worthiness, because there will always be out there, those out there to test you as a rookie or to find out that you're a seasoned vet. Remember the song that was sung, Onward Christian Soldier? Well, think, why was this written and when? It was done October 5th, 1864, to show that we are warriors in Yahuwah's word, that we're all in cadence, as described in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 6. 6 says, that you may be with one mind and one mouth to glorify Yahuwah, even the Father of our Yahuwah the Son. So this is why that we always ask you to open your Bibles so that you can be word up in Yahuwah. So knowing that, while we all have came, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry. Open unto your lives with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's word. Connecting the books, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you all have not and came to seek, and you found that which you have sought in Yahuwah's ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday, but we generally do have a Sabbath class. Now, the top part of the Sabbath is Friday from 6:30 to 9:30 until the temple members desire to leave. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. Once again, until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address to you. To use this, open up any search engine currently or any one of your smart devices. Right on the search line and at www.tribeyhbh.com. After clicking it, just on your line, you're going to see some choices. One of these choices is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, it may appear to be a little different. This time, under the lines, you might see menu. But after clicking that, okay, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. Follow the same instructions as for previous years. Now, doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah of the kindness of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves that you're forgiven. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah Live. Also, to give a school, a banquet hall, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program, Hallelujah Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself and family and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. Calendar explains what the feast days are, how long they last, and what they're all about. But for the live program, this is another feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your systems. This time, enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We're currently using two email addresses for the listening members to contact us. The first is tribe, it's tribeyhbh at gmail.com. This is the right written opinion, questions of a biblical subject, answers, or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. We also have a few numbers to reach Yahuwah's ministry. Considerably think to use them before broadcast time or afterwards would greatly be appreciated as not to disturb Yahuwah's word. We use a few verses from the Bible to explain why. The first is in the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8. 8 says, answer not before thou hear the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. The other verse comes from the book of James. We look at chapter 1, going to 26. 26 says, if any man or woman among you is seen to be religious, and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceives his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain. But as you can imagine, from previous shows, and possibly even now, there are still those who do the opposite of what the scriptures say. They call during a program announcement or cause disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. I suppose they just ignore or may not be familiar with Yahuwah the Son has given us in the book of Matthew. When we look at chapter 22, verse 29. Let's see what 29 says. Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahuwah. One other note we find it necessary to mention, please by no means contact the seer direct for questions, via voicemail, email, or text. He is usually pretty busy answering many memos, as we have seen even during previous shows and even today, even having thoughts of running just a memo show. Responding to the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Sigal, and the most important thing is preparing Yahuwah's lesson before our program starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered directly by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration, and Yahuwah be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first is our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, as I previously mentioned before. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Yes, but you might imagine, not this year. He's often tried to exceed Yahuwah's creation of 100% and found that this is impossible, as quoted in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15, except for Friday. Program is repeated at 9:45 due to start time. To use this or get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Once again, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking it, choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. We're also in the process of making it possible to get a CD or DVD recording of any program by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, I always start out by saying today is an exciting day of the word of Yahuwah. Each time we mention Yahuwah, we get all excited and energetic speaking of Yahuwah's word. And we find that nothing has changed in this manner, except the number of people that come for Yahuwah's word, which is always an increasing number. That's a good thing. And those that commend it, add on to it, only following by those casting the same words we listen to behind their back, wanting to hear the certain verses in the Bible that make them happy. Taking the verses meaning totally another way, as I mentioned before, earlier, with noisemakers, complaining, wanting to be a deceptive listener, flipping the pages to look like they're paying attention, but when you ask them to speak from the Bible, they're completely lost. They're clearly forgotten. You're only one man or one woman, and seriously, time is not in our favor. But the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what one man or woman that was Yahuwah and created to do in this life, and that's if at all possible. Because anyone ever says they've even done 101% to you, they just lie. Now they're doing the work of another, past Yahweh's creation. Now, that's impossible. Remember what I said earlier about the impossible that Yahweh the Son has said in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26. 26 says, "But Yahweh the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahweh all things are possible." We begin to find out that actually no man or woman can measure the last day. Because in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 36, 36 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only day and hour knoweth. No man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So as we learn and we start to look at what the Bible tells us, as a man and woman, we're measured by our work. As I said before, that's the things we think, do, and say. Look in the book of James at chapter 2, verse 18. 18 says, "Yea, a man or woman may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." This is why we emphasize what we say in the Bible. And we also show that what we say is that we know, because we speak that what is written. I mentioned before about a short story about how men tried to trick a teacher. Later in this comment, you'll find out who this teacher was. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. 15 says, "Then the Pharisees went out and planned together how to entrap him in his own words." 16, "They sent him their disciples, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know not that you are truthful, and teach the way of Yahweh in accordance with the truth. Do you not court anyone's favor, because you show no charity?" So, 17, "Tell us then, what do you think? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" 18, "But Yahweh the Son realized their evil intentions and said, Hypocrites, why are you testing me? 19, "Show me the coin used for taxes." So they brought him a denarius. 20, "Yahweh the Son said unto them, Whose image is it, and whose inscription?" 21, "They replied, Caesar's," he said unto them. "Then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to Yahweh the things that are Yahweh." 22, "So now when they heard this, they were stoned, and they left him and went away." That's why I gave a little short preview earlier that a teacher always has to show worthiness, because the teacher that opens the door for his students has to walk through that same door himself. Because you'll find out there are always those out there that ask questions for learning, and they're pretty serious. And those that ask questions just to see if you really know or try to trip you up. That's why I always say a teacher can't learn from his student. But already having knowledge, a teacher gains experience by teaching. And why? Because he already knows. So, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse number 7 says, "Remember them which rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Yahweh, whose faith follows to stand in the end of their conversation." So we get lessons from the Bible, and we learn quite a bit. Those that want to learn, we do learn. We call ourselves seasoned, as was mentioned earlier. We're not rookies in the Word. So after we receive lessons from the Bible, how the right to think the seed according to the Bible, don't be led by friendly deception. We get that every day. Remember what Yahweh the Son has given man, a free will, a choice, if you might say, which was said in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. 19 says, "I call on heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So we get the point. So keep those Bibles open, where we can educate more of ourselves in the word of Yahweh, the proper teaching. This time I'll pass our program off to our CEO Israel and say, hallelujah. Y'all fly.
Hello, y'all fly, Mr. Ted. I was asking again on your part and catching in the bottom part to your closing thought on tape number 42 in some dust says y'all fly. And I was looking at these memos on the table, and that's a lot of new memos can continue to come in, but this very interesting is right here, says here, we want to remain anonymous mention. The question that we want to know is, how can we join the six anointed camps, and what benefit is in joining the six anointed camps? What is the benefits in joining? And you know, that's a pretty good question. And while I was sitting there looking at this memo, it took me back to Bill Cosby, whatever his name is, one he's played in a movie called I Spy. But he done a commercial. Matter of fact, it might have been a series. I don't know. He might have done a series where he had a program going on in the 70s where that he had a learned man. I can't think of what word to use, but he had a learned man. I think it was a psychiatrist or something like that. And they had the white doll and the black doll way back there in the 70s. And Bill Cosby was doing this commentary. And they asked the black child which one of these dolls that is a nice doll. And the black will point at always opposite of self. And he said, well, which one of these is the wicked and otherwise low-down dog? They always point at the black dog. Then he said, which one of these dogs favor you? 4 years old, a whole lot of young 4 years olds and whatever, 3, 4, 5, 6. And they always point at is the point that that you look like. And he said that one right there. So good. Then make a long story short. As time went on, I can't think of this man's name. He funded his own money. Maybe somebody would be able to put up his name or something. He funded his own money in a school system. He set up a classroom where he taught the little 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds with his own money. And he funded them with his own money and set up a school. But he taught them that they was not Negroes. They was not color folks. They was African Americans. Well, you know, he done the best he can at that time. So, and that's why we tell you it's so important about the school system that we talks about daily on every broadcast, land, school, and bankroll. Because just as, I don't know what that guy's name is, he took his own money and funded that school. But somebody will come up with that, his name. And he had great, great students from 3 to 7, and he asked them a lot of questions and built them up on who you really are, and don't let money get in the way to make the turn to turn your decision. And it dawned on me to turn your decision on who you really are. And like, and just like right now, money influenced the rappers. They will be paid money by Esau and his five sons to rap things that really is a setback to the Israelites, known today as African Americans. Rappers do it. Politicians do it. Everybody do the things today to set you back. And just ask this man taking his own money and finances that school. I don't know his name. It'll come to me. Maybe it might never come to me. But somebody will look into that and get the man's name that fund his own money up the young from 3 to 7, 8 years old, and told, in my fact, and he said to them, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 4. He said, "Who your teacher?" He said, "You are." "You 6 years old." He said, "Huh?" He said, "You 6 years old." He said, "No, I'm 4. He said, "No, you 6. I'm your teacher. You 6. He said, "No, I'm 4. He said, "That's what you have to do, and you have to get loud in the face because you know you 4 and you not 6. Don't let nobody lead you in a way that looks good, sound good, money-wise, and anything else. If it takes you away from the truth." And that's why it's so important, as I sit there and think about this ministry. This ministry called Voices of the True Israelite, the 6 Anointed Camps, must raise to the occasion exactly as this man, I can't think of his name, but somebody will give me his name, started with his own money, set a school up to help the ones coming up back in the days. Now, look what happened today. Now, we're totally out of it now. From the 70s, to now, we don't let politicians, all type of Christian leaders, destroy our mindset. And that's why it's so important to donate, help Voices of the True Israelites. Get the land, get the school, get the banquet hall for your loved ones to understand. If we can set up these things, which is going to happen, it'll be able to help the ones today to don't be in the same predicament as they were in the 70s that they are to the present. You could ask the average young teenager all the way back down to, who are you? They don't even know. So that's why it's so important when we tell you about land, school, and banquet hall. Because this ministry don't have time to be playing around and fumbling around with things that we know that what we need to be doing. It's organizing, coming together, and helping the youth that is totally lost, because all they heroes is rap singles, politicians, and seasoning parents. The parents have been seasoned. So we got a big job ahead of us. So that's why I look at this memo, and the memo said plainly, we want to remain anonymous men, whatever that word I just said. But what benefit, what do we gain by joining Voices of the True Israelite? And that's a good question. That's why I say it's done back to all that right there. That's why we know this job is a big job, and we must understand one thing. The Bible is right, and that's a good question to go and venture down into, because there's so many statements pertaining to how we've been seasoning. We've been seasoning, like, for example, the Pope. On March 15, 1518, he published a violent charter which sent a special ship and commander named Bernardine Gomez to the port of Ghana with the mission of getting all the Christian Lakatos. Lakatos is a word that was called of the worm that came out of Portugal and Spain that was seasoned. But the Lakatos started learning that they wasn't what they were. So they was called Lakatos, L-A-C-A-D-O-S, who was there on board. Those was returned to Europe, obeyed the order, would be given as long as they paid the 10 crusaders orders to the hospitals of T-O-D-O-S as S-A-N-T-O-S, and half of all of their farms, and those that refused to turn over the cattle. Bernadette says that the indigenous ones of West Africa know that you have the Mikados over here that have switched back from what we have taught them. So that's why they got them between the ages of 3 to 10 and take them to the isle called Thomas, West Africa, and seasoned them and turned them into Christians. But as they start learning that they was not Christians, it was an all-out attack on the Lakatos. And anybody would shelter the Lakatos, they was in danger of being killed themselves. So all the Africans that was in West Coast must release and tell us where the Lakatos at. And them the one that was trained up from the Isles of Thomas to be Christians. And they were seasoned real good. But they seasoned by, was influenced to come to a height, a hole, because they were still teaching that you wasn't Christian. That was something that your parents fought to keep you from, but in 1492, Isabella and Farinokes, they sent you to this island to be seasoned. So that's the same thing we have to do. We have to catch the younger ones and those that we ask the question, what can we do? Because first of all, you have to recognize you have been seasoning. And that means you've been taught the wrong way. And you become Christians, and the Mikados was to continue teaching that and converting to Christians, but they ran into other Judah, and Judah started breaking it down that of your captivity, you became Christians. So that's why it's so important for those that hear this message is to contribute to this ministry to set up land, school, and banquet hall for someone of your family to come and sit down and learn the truth of who you really are. Just flashed a brother taking him to being African-American. That's all he knew at that time. But now knowledge has increased. Well, we understand that African-American was something was told to them to debunk of being Negro and color folks and black folks. That's where he debunked them titles. But now we have slipped back into darkness with the rappers, the politicians, and the parents. So now we got a big job ahead of us, so that's why I say I'm not going to tell who this, because they said do not, but what benefit did we have by joining? And, you know, so now that's a pretty good question. And that kind of answers, we're going to see, can we take a look at how do you join the six anointed camps? What is the requirement? Let me take a look at that. All right, good enough. So very interesting. So like I said, again, it's a big job, and we're going to get the job done because we know we got an unction to do that. And this is a very big question that needs to be answered. What is the benefits of joining the six anointed camps? And we'll leave it like that, and we'll bring in Brother Yahdai Israel. Remember, no class tomorrow. Be back on Airways Wednesday night. It gets some more, but this is a very good question on the table to show you exactly how you join the six anointed camps. We'll give you the steps through that we can, because that's a good question. So we'll leave it like that. So when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yahdai Israel, Yahweh be with you there, Seed Royal.
Well, bless you, C. Israel, a C. Royal. Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah, Brother Yahdai Israel. One thing, I know you are top research man. I already know that you have put some hours in. But can you recall the broadcast that Bill Cosby done in the 70s, and he was moderating for this program, but he pointed toward a school that this young man financed with his own money to teach the young children that they was African Americans. Can you recall any of that, Brother Yahdai Israel? You're on the clock, come on.
Yeah, I recall the circumstances, but I'm vague on the clarity of it all, names and dates and things of that nature.
Excellent. But we know one thing. We know one thing. You'll do a little peeping at it, and so would others, because whoever this gentleman was, that was a star. But it's like a relay race. They can only take it so far, and Yahweh have waited for bosses of tourists like now to really take it from there. So that's very interesting in this memo I have. What is the requirement of joining the six anointed camps, and what is our benefits of it? So that's pretty good, that Brother Yahdai Israel. So we're gonna take a look at that. But we'll take a look at that up on the strength of Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12, Brother Yahdai Israel, let's see if we get something going on. Come on.
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, the righteous spirit shall teach you in that very same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And that is a profound question on the table. So what we're going to do, Brother Yahdai Israel, we're going to take a look at a few things in that line. And let's see exactly what can we come up with. Let's look at St. John chapter 3. Verse 3 and 10. Let's look at St. John 3 and 10. Now, that's a great question that this organization want to know, that we're not going to identify who they are. It's a great question. And let's see, can we take care of a little bit of that. Let's let the Spirit of Yahweh take care of a little bit of this. Let's look at St. John 3, verse 3 and 10. Let's see the requirements of joining the six anointed camps and what benefit it is by joining the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites. Let's see what it says in St. John chapter 3, verse 3 and 10.
The book of St. John, chapter 3. Verse number 3 and verse number 10 reads, Book of St. John 3, verse 3. Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, Truly, truly I say unto you, except a man and woman be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse number 10. Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, Are you a master of Israel and knowest not these things?
Mm-hmm. So, to be a master of Israel, you have to know that you have to be born again. To join the six anointed camps, you must be born again. And we're not saying that in a derogatory statement, but you must be born again. Just as that program was in the 70s and learning to look young children that they was not Negro color and whatever. They was said loud that they're African Americans. But he said, suppose I put some money in your face and say you a nigger. You know you need some money, don't you? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to put some money in your bank. I'm going to take a dollar out of my wallet. And I'm going to give you a dollar to say you is a nigger. You need your dollar, don't you? Yeah. But say it then. No, I'm African American. You say, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Don't let money get in the way of the truth. And what is truth there, Brother Yahdai Israel? 14, verse 6. And what is truth? Let's find out what is truth in St. John 14, verse number 6.
Book of St. John 14, verse number 6 reads, Book of St. John 14, verse number 6. Yahweh the Son said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto Yahweh the Father but by me.
Mm-hmm. So you cannot let money, those to your right, to your left, a family member, whatever, get you off of the truth. You see, one of the greatest things, understand one thing, the truth is, if you don't know that if Yahweh is the way, that means that whoever you're in contact with can be a family member, they have nothing to restrain them on. So you know what the greatest fear is, dealing with someone that's not upon the banner of Yahweh, because remember one thing, they don't have nothing to check them with. That means they wide open, so they suddenly do anything. That's why you have to make sure you're clear about before you start, you know, getting into it with those that's without. If you understand one thing, if it escalates, there's no end on where they're going. The way they're going is no end to it, because what's going to check them? Satan don't check you. Satan add on to a fire by telling you here's some more gasoline. So you got to be very careful when you understand these things before you jump off into a conversation, a heated conversation with someone that do not have Yahweh over their head. It can escalate into serious trouble. And you have to stay a step ahead of that, because you got nothing to check them with. Who check you is Yahweh. And Yahweh always tell you plainly in St. John chapter 8, verse 32, about the truth. And what he says in 8:32 there, Brother Yahdai Israel and St. John.
Book of St. John 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
See, the truth will make you free. And we just read, who is the truth? It's Yahweh. So you must understand that Yahweh is the way, and he is the truth. And that's why we tell the six anointed camps, you must communicate with those within the six anointed camps, because he made it plain, Brother Yahdai Israel, he made a statement in the eighth chapter, whatever it was, in the eighth chapter, he said something. And you see, once we, because that was really profound. This memo was profound. What benefits it is joining the six anointed camps, and what is the benefit out of it? And then, you know, that's a pretty good statement, and I like that because you want answers. So sometimes even Tibbs talks about. Sometimes you know when somebody's saying something to really receive an answer, or somebody telling you something to just trap you off. See, you'll get that discernment about a question, and Yahweh will let you know that is a good enough question. Let me precept that real quick to the Book of Kings, 2 Kings, that Brother Yahweh. Let me precept that. So I want to. Alrighty there, Brother Yahdai Israel. I guess I'm back. That's a lot of power, but WCC, that's a lot of power. It cuts somebody off whenever you get ready. That's pretty good. Okay, I got the message. No question, no doubt about it. Okay, now, what was I saying there, Brother Yahdai? What were we going to get, Brother Yahdai Israel?
We were headed to the Book of Kings. That's all I echo.
Kings.
Yeah.
That's why we say so many times that just as we are sooner or later we got to be proactive instead of reacting. But right now, this word of thus says Yahweh is alone, but I forgot the flow I was in by being interrupted by big dignitaries can take me off the airways whenever they get ready. So let me back up a little bit and see what was the last thing I said, and maybe it'll come back to me.
We're coming out of
what was the last
St. John 8:32.
St. John 8:32. Okay. Well, let's go to 17:17. Let's get another witness now. I remember precepting something there, Brother Yahdai Israel. I was precepting something, but it got away from me now. But I don't read it back over. Go to 17:17. What it say?
Book of St. John 17, verse 17 reads, "Sanctify them to your truth. Your word is truth."
Here's the deal. The words are true. See, the Roman Catholic Church, their truth is you got to get you a rosemary. And you pray to the rosemary, and they advise this up under the Catholic Church to have a rosemary and always have it with you. And whenever you're in a tight, pray to the rosemary. See, that's not the Bible truth. The Bible truth is the Almighty Son that received the Father's word is the truth. And still made a profound statement in 125 when he was ordained to say something. And this is what he says in 125 of 1 Peter. What did he say there, Brother Yachdai Israel?
Book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 25 reads, Book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 25. But the word of Yahuwah endure forever, and this is the word which by the covenant is taught unto you.
Mm-hmm. So the word of Yahuwah it endures forever. So that's what's going to stand. Not making a factory of rosemary bees and selling them, you know, but that is for the sinners of Esau. But when Israel have the rosemary bees, that's where the schooling of the six anointed camps must show soundly. We understand that they got rosemary bees, but we understand we got his word. And we know that what heals us in the book of Psalms, what to get our healing in the book of Psalms, that Brother Yachdai Israel, what, 107, verse 20, if we want our healing, let's see what it says in 107, verse 20.
The book of Psalms.
About our, yep. Yes, sir.
The book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse number 20 reads, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a great benefit of being a member or getting in up under the six anointed camps. That's a great advantage because we're going to show you what the Bible's saying, and we take what we do seriously. So, what heals you is his word. That's what heals you. That's why we come and tell you about the dietary. We tell you about if you sit there and let food rotten in your stomach, it's always going to cause you a colon problem. And how food rotten in your stomach, when you eat something and you see that same food is in your body past the 24 hours that times allow it, you have to flush that out before you put anything else in your body, because poop, toxic waste, that's poison. It's poison to your kidneys, and it's caused you all type of stomach problems because the food that you just ate stayed in your stomach past the minimum. That's why you have to be clear on how to eat, how to think, but everything must be done according to the Bible. And then remember, understand one thing, that even when your prayers, understand the prayer of Yahuwah is totally different from the Catholic Church prayer. Yahuwah told us that even when he prayed in 17 verse 9, it's totally different from the 17 nations of the Roman Catholic Church. Let's see when Yahuwah said, when he prayed, when the Roman Catholic Church prayed, you ought to pray to the rosemary. But Yahuwah the Son said in 17:9 a profound statement. And what he said in St. John 17, verse 9.
Because St. John 17, verse number 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are yours.
So you see, the difference in Yahuwah's prayer is totally different from the prayers of the powers that have taught us, and that's why we must have our own to help our offspring, that we need our own setup, just as we're going to find out what this young man that started the school in the 70s and taught them that they was African-American. That's the best he could do. But right now, we can take it a little further, because what we know now in the book of Daniel, we know something that Daniel talks about. This is what Daniel says in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 31 down to verse 33. Let's see what it says in Daniel chapter 11, 31 to 33, our brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 to 33 reads. Book of Daniel 11, verse 31. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the temple of strength, shall take away the daily sacrifice, they shall place the abominations that make it desolate. Verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flattery. But the people that do know their Yahweh shall be strong and do exploits. Verse 33. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, by the flame, by captivity, by spoil, many days.
Now, Brother Yahdai Israel, that was a profound statement you read in verse 32. We might as well go back down verse 32 one more time. What did it say in verse 32 now?
Book of Daniel 11, verse 32. Such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flattery. But the people that do know their Yahweh, be strong and do exploits.
He said the wicked is going to corrupt you. The wicked is going to corrupt you against the covenant. So the wicked is going to make sure clearly they corrupt you by the covenant. They're going to take that covenant that you is up under. And that's why they told you, you don't need no laws, no covenant, because that's done away with. See, the wicked have soundly convinced the masses of the world that you don't need no more covenant no more. You don't need the covenant. All that's done away with now. So the wicked have profoundly pulled that off. And that's why we read in the article about what happened when the Pope gave the order to the king. The Pope gave the order to the king, and the king gave the order to, we read his name, Bernadette Gomez. If anybody don't tell us where the Licados at, and Licados was the one that was seasoning. But they had them, they got them very young. They got them very young, see, right? See, that's how you get them young, but now you can get them old. They old season now. They young season, old season. You know, now we need plenty of help, but the help is on the way through the six anointed camps of Voices of the True Israelites. Now, so, do we got a verse on the table there, Brother Yahdai Israel? Do we got some on the table?
We just finished Daniel 11.
Okay, we precept that. This is right here. It's just like having a great meal at Brother Yahdai Israel. He's trying to figure out, what are you going to show you to get at this thing? Let's back up to Matthew 18, 1, 2, and 3. See, the six anointed camps, we've got to be clear that when the floodgates open up, it's not that we're saying things to belittle anybody, but this is exactly the way it got to be from the way the season of the world have been. There's certain things that we must make plainly when they come in with the floodgates. They have to come in the 18th chapter of Matthew 1, 2, and 3. What does it say, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse number 1, 2, verse number 3 reads, at the same time came the disciples unto Yahweh the Son, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse number 2, Yahweh's Son called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Verse number 3, it said, truly I say unto you, except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
See, they have to be clear. That's why we have to know what we're talking about. We have to know what we're talking about through the precepts of the Bible, not intellect. Not intellect, see, right? We got to know what this Bible says. So those that when the floodgates open up, they got to understand something. When you come and sit among elder men and women of the six anointed camps, you have to understand that all that you have been taught, you have to place that back like you've never been taught. You have to give us the benefit of the doubt to get you where you need to be at. That's why you got to come in with big ears and a little mouth, but we can clean you up, get you right. And what's going to cleanse you is, 5:26 of Ephesians. What's going to clean them up there, Brother Yagdai Israel? Let's see, do anything ever closer. Let's see what cleans you up.
And we're going to be feet.
We're going to precept that to 119 verse 9 of Psalms. Let's go back to back with it. So you see, we're going to find out what cleans you up, see, right here. What you working with, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse number 26 reads, that he or she might sanctify, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
By the word, see, right here. We clearly know the only way you're going to be converted. You must be converted by the word. Now, that verse was pulled from David in 119 verse 9. And what did David say? That verse was pulled from the book of David in 1000. What did it say in Psalm 119 verse 9 there, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Psalms 119, verse number 9 reads, for with all shall a young man, young woman, cleanse their way by taking heed thereto according to your word.
You see that, see, right here? So there you go right there. There go your game changer, because we got a memo that they found some trees that's over there in the place called Jerusalem. And now they taking barks of the tree and making little crosses. And they telling you right now, this cross right here is, this cross where this tree came from, is the very place that Jesus prayed at. So you need to embark yourself and make a great donation to our ministry, $20 and whatever bigger, to get this on limited arrangement, this cross that they are making in Jerusalem. And these are trees that Jesus prayed upon them. So if you make a donation from $20 and up, you can get this tree that Jesus prayed upon Jesus prayed upon them. So they asked me to comment on it. I can't comment on that, but I can comment on this book. But all I can't comment on that. But I have to see what the scripture says pertaining to that. So you can get you a cross from the olive trees that's in Jerusalem. But I recall that certain area was in the lower area that they set up camp there, and I recall it wasn't no trees there, all that was imported in. I can recall that, and I forgot when they were setting it up, about 1948, somewhere in that area, that trees was barren there in the certain area that they put up their site and said, this is where he prayed at his best. I know it is record of trees that was shifted in and replanted there. And do you recall anything about that, Brother Yahdai Israel? You got some on that? Can you recall anything in that line, Brother Yahdai Israel?
No. It behooves me to see you.
Okay. So it's record of the trees that was imported in and placed in that area. So we leave that like it is until we investigate a little bit more on it, because the area that did pick, it was barren, and trees was brought in to that area. So that's when you investigate it. So we leave that like it is. Now, the questions on the table is, we find out some good stuff so far, but now we go on and find out a little bit more on some good stuff. What can we do to be part of the six anointed camps? Well, in 1 Kings chapter 8, let's stick with verse 47. Let's see where things start at. It starts in 1 Kings chapter 8. Let's read a little bit from 47. This is what's called the first thing to have to be up under consideration. It's 1 Kings 8, and let's read from 47. Let's read a few verses there, Brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 47 reads, "Yet if they shall bethink themselves, the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness." Verse number 48. "So return unto you with all their mind, and with all their strength, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive. Pray unto you toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the temple, the house, which I have built for your name."
Today goes to Esther, Brother Yahdai Israel. See that? So the first thing we have to acknowledge that if you of Israelite descent, a place that you are right now, your forefathers and mothers did not come from the places that we are right now. And then once we find out who we really are, when we pray, we must pray back to our land. But we got to be taught about our land and who we are as a people, and that's what we do. We teach you who you are as a people, and that you are in your enemy's land. but it once was your land, but you have sinned, and your enemy now have taken over your land, and he have taken over your books, and now he teach your books to you. But it was prophesied in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. It was prophesied in verse 47 through 50 that this was going to happen to the peoples of Israel that you can read in the 27th chapter, verse 1, that we're not going to read. This was prophesied by Moses that the children of Israel will fall up under the 28th chapter, 47 through 50 of Deuteronomy. What does it say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Verse number 47 through 50 reads. Book of Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Because you serve not Yahuwah, your Yahuwah with joyfulness, with gladness, for the mind for the abundance of all things. Verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which Yahuwah shall send against you, in hunger, and in thirst, in nakedness, and in want of all things. And ye shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed you. Verse 49. Yahuwah shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, but shall favor to the young.
So you see what he's saying? He said, this is what's going to happen to you and who's you? My favorite mouth was going to read it, but it's National Orders in 27, verse 1. Your mouth will read who to you is. Is this what's going to happen to you? This is going to happen to you. The Catholic Church have no record of them. This happened to them because the Catholic Church is the one by the Pope, Nicholas. In the 1400s, he the one got over there at Cordoba and mustered the battle on the southern kingdoms of Yahdai Judah. So this information must be understood plainly. What you reading that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Deuteronomy 27, verse number 1. And Moses with the elders of Israel.
Moses was with the elders of Israel. So that's one of the greatest mysteries. Moses was ordained by Yahuwah and Aaron to teach the elders of Israel exactly step by step and pass it on. But we have no leaders have taught us anything about Moses and the elders of Israel. We never hear nothing about Moses, Aaron, and the elders of Israel. Because that's where you're supposed to get your message from, according to Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. But you say in 32 verse 7 there, Brother Yahdai Israel, Deuteronomy.
Book of Deuteronomy 32, verse number 7 reads, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask your fathers, and they will show you, your elders, and they shall tell you.
See that? And that's why it's so important to donate, contribute to the six anointed camps to the land, school, banquet hall. Because right now, the reason why we as a people, because we can't identify our elders, we got strong men, but the strong men have been seasoned in the system. And they will never teach you about who you are, although it started in the 70s, who you are. But certain things you're not going to never hear, like, for example, 2 Ezra chapter 7. Let's see when the last time you heard this by any mother, father that's outside of the six anointed camps. Let's see, have they ever sit you down and told you what Ezra says in the 10th chapter, verse 7, 23, 27, 39, and 44, and 51. What I want to know, have anybody that have raised ever showed you outside of the six anointed camps, showed you and had you to read 2 Ezra chapter 7, I mean chapter 10, verse 7, 23, 27, 39, and 44. What and 51? What professor, what's his name, that have taught you this outside of the six anointed camps? Listen to this. Father Yahweh Israel, come on.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 10, verse 11, verse 23, verse 27, verse 39, verse 44, and verse 51 reads, the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 10, verse number 7, how the Yahweh Judah polluted word Zion, our mother is full of all heaviness and much humble mourning, very sore. Verse 23, and which is greatest of all, the seal of Yahweh Judah, polluted word Zion, and now lost her honor, for she has delivered it to the hands of them that hate us. Verse 27, and I looked, and behold, the woman appeared to me no more, for there was a city built, and a large place showed itself from the foundation. Then was I afraid and cried with a loud voice and said, verse 39, ye have seen that thy way is right, for that thou sorrowest continually for thy people, and makest great lamentations for Yahweh Judah, polluted word Zion. Verse 44, this woman whom thou sawest is Yahweh Judah, polluted word Zion. And whereas she said unto thee, even she whom thou seest as a city built. Verse 51, and therefore I bade thee remain in the field where no house was built.
Where you ever heard, period, outside of the six anointed camps, Israel was shown the return of Israel and the city built, and the return of all the children of Israel coming back to this spot. He was shown. He was never taught Christianity up and away. He was taught about the return of the children of Israel. Matter of fact, let's read a little bit more past 51, and they talk a little bit more about what he was shown. The seer was shown. He was shown some seer, Reagan. He was shown the return of Israel, the building of the temple, and everything else. But as those that's outside of the six anointed camps, what professors have ever shown you that the children of Israel must return back to this spot, not up and away? Give me a little bit more out from that 51 there, Brother Yahweh Israel.
Book of 2 Ezra 7, verse number, 2 Ezra chapter 10, verse number 51 reads, 2 Ezra 10, verse 51, and therefore I bade thee remain in the field where no house was built. Verse 52, for I knew that the highest would show this unto you. Verse 53, therefore I commanded thee to go into the field where no foundation of any building was. verse 54. When the place wherein the highest bringeth to show this his city, there can no man building be able to stand. Verse 55. And therefore fear not, let not thy mind be affrighted, but go thy way in and see the beauty and greatness of the building, as much as thine eyes be able to see. Verse 56. Then shalt thou hear as much as thine ears may comprehend. Verse 57. For thou art blessed above many others, and thou art blessed few. Verse 58. But tomorrow at night.
That's good right there. So he showed Ezra, the seer, the splendor of the temple, the building of the return of Yahweh the Son, and the return of Yahweh the tribes, back to where you will return to see right here. See, that's why it's so important to understand something. It's time now to really understand your destination, where you're going. You're not going up, up, and away. Christianity has destroyed you, and that's why it's so important, like we keep telling you. We are reaction people instead of action people. Understand one thing. This needs to be taught in the school of voices. As the young ones come in and sit down and learn how not to be enticed by the almighty dollar, your integrity of who you really are, and what is the plan of almighty Yahweh. So, donate, contribute to this, and you will see the splendor of a shadow of a learning center that you will be proud when you head to lay down to know it be in good hands, because it's time now to teach our offsprings the Bible. And you must be a Yahwali man or woman. And that's what we will teach you, how to be a Yahwali man or a Yahwali woman. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, 26. Let's precept that and see what Paul was pointed. Now, you heard what he was shown. That's why Paul got over there in Galatia, and he pulled that verse and said something to those that's up under the name of Galatians, whatever they was calling themselves over there in the northern kingdom that was scattered there. This is what Paul told them in 4:26 of Galatians. What are you telling Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Acts.
Make it Galatians. Chapter 4, verse 26. What were you telling the northern kingdom, pointing to that second Ezra chapter 10, verse 7 and 23? What did he say in Galatians 4:26?
The book of Galatians 4, verse 26 reads, For Yahdai Judah, which is above, is free, polluted where is Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all.
Did that see, Reagan? It was told to the Galatians, northern kingdom that was scattered. Your motherland is not Africa. Well, you know, Africa is a mother of, it might be their mother, but not your mother. Your mother is right there in Galatians 4:26. Your mother was right there in 10, verse 7 and 23. That was your mother was at. Your mother is right here. This is where your forefathers and mothers is from, right here. This is where they were from, right here. And this got to be taught. That you got a homeland, but what got you out of your homeland was disobedience. So that what got you out your homeland, see, right here, disobedience. And how you going to come back to your homeland, you have to get rid of the disobedience. And you have to remember one thing, in Daniel 7:25, something you have to remember. What happened in Daniel 7:25?
The book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse number 25 reads, Book of Daniel 7, verse number 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints, the 12 tribes of Israel, of the Most High. They shall change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand, unto a time and time, and the dividing of times.
He said he gonna wear out the 12 tribes of Israel. He said he's going to wear you out. You know how you tell your little grandbabies, you don't stop what you're doing, I'm going to wear you out. Listen, the key to it, understand the 12 tribes of Israel have been war. He has wore us out. He unchanged the times and the laws. Now, what do you mean by he changed the times? As you got something called daylight saving time, he changed the daylight saving times. And now what do you mean by he unchanged the laws? Now he got time, now it's 12:01. He unchanged what Yahuwah says, keep the Sabbath day from the time of sun go out on Friday to sun go out on Saturday. But no, you keep Sunday, first day of the week. He told you in Isaiah 52 verse 1, what did he tell you in Isaiah 52 verse 1? And you said, no, I'm going to continue doing, I'm going to get all that attention. What did he tell you to do in 52 verse 1? Out of the mouth of Isaiah, that Baba Yaga Israel.
The book of Isaiah 52 verse number 1. Awake, awake, put on your strength. O Yahgar Judah, polluted where is Zion? Put on your beautiful garments, O Yahgar Judah, polluted where is Jerusalem, the righteous city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee, the uncircumcised and the unclean.
And see, once you understand that, you'll get a certain feeling when you see someone else got on their beautiful garment with their fringes on. It'll bring a certain warmness to you knowing that's your brother and that's your sister. That's why it's so important to lead by example, Six Anointed Camps. Because when you see someone else got their beautiful garments on, automatic, y'all will connect. They're going to spot you in one of the aisles in one of them old grocery stores, and you're going to spot them. And then you're gonna look at them, and you're going to see them friends, and they're going to look at you. And immediately you're going to put that hand out and that put that paw on them. You see that? That is the connection, see, right here. But as long as you keep on procrastinating on where I'm still waiting on the table to make my friends. You sew them on yourself because the connection, when you put some friends on, someone gonna have some fringes on too. And automatic, it just like, you know, it gonna bring a certain feeling to you that you're only gonna know when you follow and take heed. That's why we tell the Six Anointed Camps, don't keep procrastinating around because you destroying yourself and everybody that will come in contact with you because you would not do it the way Yahuwah tell you to. Put them fringes on. Have some kind of fringes on, if no more than your blouse. Have some fringes on somewhere. If somewhere you have some fringes on, because the connection is people now is looking for that connection. You got to lead by example. Put some fringes on your sleeves on your arm because that gonna reflect back to someone saying, there is my brother, there is my sister, through them fringes. That's the game changer. So it behooves me to continue to see members of the Six Anointed Camps dragging their feet. It's just like if your hand touched something hot, immediately you pull your hand back, don't you? But when it comes down to Yahuwah's words, you procrastinate. You still jacking your slacks on putting some fringes on somewhere. But Yahweh to shine the blessing and point somebody towards you. Because if you got them fringes on, somebody is lost. And they can be found through you and them fringes. That's why we tell you, put the fringes on. Put something on with some fringes. Jacket. Yo, something on with some fringes on. Line up with Yahweh and watch the blessing that will come to you when you do so. Now, so we found out one thing. We have to repent. We have to and as a little child. Let's run to, and then the respect level of kick in. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 19, and 20. Let me show you something. Once you start putting them fringes on, you will start recognizing who's who through the fringes. 5, 1, 2, 19, and says what?
The book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse number 1, 2, verse number 19 and 20 reads, Book of 1 Timothy 5, verse number 1. Rebuke not the elder, but entreat him as a father, the younger men as brothers, verse number 2. The elder woman as mother, the younger as sisters with all purity. Verse number 19. Against the elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Verse 20. And that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear.
Mm-hmm. Let's precept that to Titus chapter 2, 1 through 8. Listen good. And listen good. Because one thing about it, that's a great question on the table. What is the benefit of us joining the six anointed camps? We have rules and regulations. First thing is a great repentance. And understand what's written in Titus chapter 2, 1 through 8. This is how we talk when those that will be coming in and floodgates all around the six anointed camps. And what we bring to the table is this kind of conversation that we all can read together. Titus 2, 1 through 8. Listen good.
The book of Titus 2, verse number 1 through 8 reads, Book of Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. Bespeak you the things which become sound doctrine. Verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the covenant, in charity, and in patience. Verse number 3. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior and become in righteousness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse number 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their families. Verse number 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of Yahweh be not blasphemed. Verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Verse 17, in all things show yourself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing our corruptness, gravity, sincerity. Verse number 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he or she that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you.
Read verse 7 and 8 again, Brother Yahweh Israel. Verse 7 and 8.
The book of Titus chapter 2, verse number 7. All things showing yourself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing our corruptness, gravity, sincerity. Verse number 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he or she that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you.
That's tall, big time reading right there, Brother Yahweh Israel. You brought it out in grand style. I like good stuff, see. Now, there it is, see, right here. So this is what we teach in the Sixth Anointing Camp. This is what we teach. We not admire by your stature, whatever stature you are. We look at you coming into any of the Sixth Anointing Camps as all this information must be known. You haven't been taught it by no one, but this is what we teach. This is how we teach. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 11 through 14 and 19. So this is the way we teach. Because we know we got the unction to deal with this, but we know one thing. All that got to be on the table. And all that to my, well, be smoking a little weed. No, I'm smoking on the weed. You got to stay right to take care of this business. Well, I think it's better if I smoke me a little weed. No, that ain't going to keep you sober. That's going to get you drunk and high. You got to get some word in you, and that's what we bring to the table, the word of Yahuwah. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 through 14 and 19. Listen good.
Then we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 11 through 14, verse number 9 reads. The book of 2 Corinthians.
19. 11 the book through of, 14 and
the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 11 through 14, and verse number 19 reads. 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Verse number 12. Will there be first a willing mind? Is it accepted according to that a man has? And not according to that, ye have not. Verse 13. For I mean not that other men be eased, and you burdened. Verse 14. For by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. That their abundance also may be a supply for your want. That there may be equality. Verse number 19. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the congregation to travel with us with this mercy, which is administered by us to the honor of the same Yahuwah and declaration of your ready mind.
Boy, that's some heavy good talk with that boy. But you know, for time's sake, we ain't gonna deal with it. That's some heavy good stuff with them. Let's back up to Acts chapter 5, 29 and 30 then. When you understand what just was reading in 2 Corinthians 6 and on the count, go back over that verse. Go back over that verse. That's big talk right there in that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 11 through 14 and 19. That's why we got to be a ready of mind, one mind, understand one thing. The world is waiting on the 6 and on the count to step up. But you got to step up the way the man tell you to step up. You got to have something on with some fringes on. You can't do no more and take your jacket, take some blue ribbon, put some fringes on something you got on to start identifying yourself, because somebody is looking for you. They are lost, and they can be found, but they're going to be only found through you putting something on with some fringes on it. No more on your bottom of your work jacket or something. Put some fringes on some of your wear when you step out. Have something on with some fringes on. You can't get it in your skirt. You can't get it somewhere on you. People are dependent on you. But if you sit there and keep on procrastinating, waiting on somebody to make something, one of the greatest tables is that I could sit in the world is Rain Camp Number 1. Get in contact with Camp 1. We'll get you somebody that can start making you something to drag your feet. Get something going on. Because the world is waiting on us to take our rightful position, but we must step up in them royal blue garments, and we must have some type of fringe on us whenever we step outside, have some part of fringes. Because Yahuwah is going to have somebody to get up and like a magnetized and follow them fringes and said, Elder Mother, Elder Father, I'm lost. And he both said, well, you have been found. And what they spot was them fringes. Remember what the woman spotted over there in the ninth chapter of Matthew? She was peeping in the crowd and she saw them fringes and said to herself, if I just can get over there and just touch them fringes, I know I can be made whole. See, Ray, step it up. The world is waiting. Don't keep on procrastinating. Got it? Good. What you reading that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Acts chapter 5, verse number 29 and verse 30 reads. Book of Acts 5, verse 2. Book of Acts 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we are to obey Yahweh rather than man. Verse 30. The Yahweh of our fathers, praise of Yahweh the Son, whom you slew and hanged on a tree.
And we'll close out in Zephaniah, Brother Yahdai Israel. We'll close out in Zephaniah. We'll catch your winds tonight. But one thing about that's a great question on the table. What's the benefit and what we do if we join the six anointed camps? Show you the regulation of the six anointed camps, and we lead by example. And look what it says over here, so we can read Zephaniah. Zephaniah says something in 1, 6 through 9, and a closing statement. Let's see what it says in Zephaniah chapter 1, 6 through 9. Listen good, six anointed camps. What Zephaniah was told. He was told to put this in writing for time to come. Let's see what he got written in Zephaniah 1, 6 through 9.
The book of Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse number 6 through 9 reads, book of Zephaniah 1, verse 6, them that are turned back from Yahweh, those that have not sought Yahweh, nor are required for him. Verse number 7, hold your peace at the presence of Yahweh, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. For Yahweh has prepared a sacrifice, your big guest. It shall come to pass in the day of Yahweh's sacrifice that will punish the princes and the king's children, family, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Verse number 9. The same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's house with violence and deceit.
I got to get one more out of that. Give me the book of Hebrews chapter, give me 9 verse 8. We'll leave it right there. What do 9 verse 8, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Hebrews, put it away in Hebrews, chapter 9, verse number 8. The righteous spirit is signifying that the way into the righteous of all was not yet made manifest, while at the first temple was yet standing.
I blew that one, but back up to 8, verse 9. I can do something with that, but back up to 8, verse 9. Let's make it 8, verse 9. We can make some out of that, but we ain't. Same book, 8, verse 9. What it say?
The book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse number 9 reads, not according to the covenant that I made with your father, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, save Yahweh.
If you continue not in the covenant of Yahweh, he regards you not. So when you try to explain the Bible to somebody else out of six anointed camps, and you don't have no fringes on, Yahweh is saying the fringes is your pass to get into what you're trying to get into. That is your pass to get in. It's the fringes, see, right? That's how you get in. So a mission into Yahweh is the fringes. So if you don't have no fringes on, nowhere on you, Yahweh says, I regard you not. understand, I don't care how much you teach the Bible, how much you carry the Bible, how much you talk the Bible. Yahweh said, if you don't do my covenant, I regard you not. So get that knot off of you and put some fringes on something. If it's no more than a little cloak that you have around you, have something for people to see, because some fringes will attract who Yahweh wants to attract to you, but have something on with the fringes that someone that Yahweh can send to you and say, hey, I've been lost. And you say, you have been found. Ain't that something? That's great talk. Brother Yahweh Israel, see Israel. Until we get some fans tonight, you're on the clock for your clothes.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. Love the way it's rolling out there. See Israel, a seed royal. Great word, King, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah, qua.
Excellent. Brother Yahdai Israel, like I said, that's a great memo from this organization that said, what do we have if we join? Well, like I said again, this is not a, we's not a, what call it, soap opera. What call that other word is used, you know, a bridge club. We about the word of Yahweh and showing you soundly that you must have Yahweh over you, because that will check you when time appointed. Yahweh. And those that do not have Yahweh over them, they wide open. They something to do anything. And you must be clear about that. We bring Mr. Tibbs in for his final thoughts and thus says Yahweh on take number 42. And Mr. Tibbs, you back on the clock, the world listening, come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother C. Israel, and thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. Well, during the beginning of our commentary, we did give a short, brief description on what we saw as being seasoned, so it would be received by most what season really is when it comes to a people. And what we were trying to indicate, being around a seasoned vet, those are people that you would want to put your life in hand, because they will be able to guide you through the ropes. Not a rookie, just like a rookie cop. Everybody's afraid to be around him because he's new on the job. As I mentioned before, just like a temporary teacher, a substitute, they'll call. They come in, they want to teach. But everybody always appreciates the real teacher when they return, because they teach with substance. And that substance is what you need. So since that's what we need, we know that we came to hear those things that all of us here listening can understand. And some don't get it unless they have proper teaching. Most of us come to see things that most of us can see and some can never find, because they don't have that direction. Once again, without proper teaching. We touch those things that most of us here can touch and others can never feel. We have to tell them where to go, what book to open, and where to look. And why they do this? Because it's the righteous that makes all these and more things possible. When we look in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, for the eyes of the Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Yahweh is against them that do evil. 13, and who is he that will harm you if he befouls of that which is good? Well, we see that there's a lot of us here today that came for the good of Yahweh's word. Receive it, commend it, and add unto it. As I mentioned before, the same words we listen to, some will cast those words behind their back. And that's not so good for others learning Yahweh's words. These are what we indicate as raving wolves and sheep clothing, that come to see just who's attending, what we're talking about, who's on their side, and deceptive thinking, spreading rumors of non-Yahwali things. I know many of you have seen just as much. These are the ones who have to realize that we're here for one reason. That's not who sits on your left or who sits on your right, to spread rumors. That's to teach the word of Yahweh. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you once again for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry, coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's words, learning to connect the books, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have not. You came to seek this information, and you found that what you have sought in Yahweh's ministry is open to you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday, as was previously mentioned, unless there's a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. That starts at 6:30 to 9:30 until the temple members desire to leave. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m., once again until the temple members desire to leave. We have a website address also for the listening members to use. To do this, open up any search engine currently on any one of your smart devices. Right on that search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under the line, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, it may appear to be a little different. This time under that line, you may see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. Follow the same instructions as for previous use. Doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto Yahweh, O your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength." 8, "Give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." I always remind everyone when doing this to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, to give what's in your mind, to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh life. Also to build a school, a banquet hall, and the land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself, family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to you throughout the year. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. This time, type in three words, Yahweh Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as it appears, and you'll be right into a live online broadcast. We're currently using two email addresses also. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject, or related topics answered. The other is yhdhysrael at gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how our program was liked by you. We have a few numbers also to reach Yahweh's ministry. Considerably think to use them before broadcast time or afterwards. Would greatly be appreciated as not to disturb Yahweh's words. We use a few verses in the Bible to explain why. We look in the book of Shirah, chapter 11, verse 8. 8 says, "Answer not before they have heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk." The other comes from the book of James. This is chapter 1, verse 26. 26 says, "If any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceives his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain." But you can imagine, as I mentioned many times before, there are still those that do the opposite of what the scriptures say. They will continually call during a program announcement or cause some sort of disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. I suppose they may just ignore or may not be familiar with Yahuwah the Son, as told us in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. 29 says, Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahuwah. Once again, we also find it necessary to mention, please by no means contact the seer directly for questions via voicemail, email, or text. He is usually pretty busy answering many mumbles, even having thoughts of running a memo show, as most of us have seen during previous announcements and today's message. Responding to the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigarette Man, and the most important thing that's being done is preparing Yahuwah's lesson before our program starts. Remember, the seer is only one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many questions can really be answered directly by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahuwah be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is an international number, as I previously mentioned before. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But you might imagine, not the seer. He's often tried to exceed Yahuwah's creation and found that this was impossible, as quoted in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except for Fridays. The program will be repeated at 9:45. To do this, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Once again, type in the three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click Enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Once again, as a reminder, we're making it possible for the listening members to get a CD or DVD recording of any program by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, this is an exciting day for the Word of Yahuwah. Each and every day we have it. It certainly is. And I hope thus far we've learned quite a bit, which is making me very happy at this point. But we have people that take the verse's meaning totally another way, which we try to avoid, along with the noisemakers, complainers, wanting to be a deceptive listener, flipping the pages in the Bible to look like they're paying attention. These are the distractions that we try to avoid, because when we ask them to speak the word of Yahuwah, they're clearly forgotten where they are. We're only one man or one woman. And seriously, time is not in our favor. We can only do 100% of what one man or woman that was Yahuwah created to do in this life, and that if that's all possible. Because if anyone ever has told you they've done 101%, they just lied. Now they're doing the work of another, which is past Yahuwah's creation. Well, that is impossible. Don't forget what I mentioned earlier about what Yahuwah the Son said in the book of Matthew 19:26. 26 says, but Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible. We have to remember, when we read the Bible and we receive what it tells us, a man or woman are measured by their works. This is the things that we think, say, and do on a daily basis. In the book of James, we look at chapter 2, verse number 18. 18 says, yea, a man or woman may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So I guess what we'll do just continue to show our works from the Bible. So we will pass our program back to our seer Israel. Continue to learn. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Yahweh. And Mr. Till, that was excellent again on your bottom part. So we can go back to the network. And one thing about it, see, Rayona. Look at that. That's why I said we got a big job ahead of us, and it's going to start with the Six of Morning Camp. So I was looking at this recorded history by this historian, researcher. I'm not going to try to butcher his name up. I just spell it out, H-E-I-N-R-I-C-H-G-R-A-E-T-Z. This is what he says. He talks to you. He was talking about what happened in 70 A.D. when the people went into captivity. He says, the Roman governor of Spain begged Titus, the conquestor of Jerusalem, to send some of the nobles' family to their capital, send them down to bring them down to, and Titus complied with the request. So Titus, he is on record taking some of the nobles to Portugal and Spain, but the children of Israel was already there in Portugal and Spain, but the Roman governor begged for them, because he know one thing. When you got Yahdah Judah close by, you got the best of the 12 tribes according to Scripture. So there's a lot of information that we need to know, and if you fortunate enough to be from that tribe, you have a greater responsibility on your head than the 11 tribes, because you're the one is to unite all the tribes back together as the world knew it. But Portugal and Spain, you was already over there ever since the time of Nebuchadnezzar days, because Nebuchadnezzar had other generals to help take out Jerusalem. And a lot of nobles were taken back there in 586 B.C. So it's no accident of you being taken from place to place. And the one they always focus in on the one that you call a day shifters and laziness. But no, you have seasoned him down so bad he just don't know his way back. But we're going to show him his way back through the teaching and the fringes. And it's going to unite his brain again. All right, enough said on that. So the world know one thing. They know to get something built or to make sure the blessing is there, it's always to find you. That's why you go to some of these major restaurants. If the door flopping too wide, you will see you back there in the kitchen making them biscuits. You'll be hid out in the back in that dough, making them biscuits at these famous restaurants. Ever let the dough fly open wide enough and they'll see you back there making them biscuits, cooking that food. Yeah, but not to bring it out. No. Somebody come pick it up. Because we never want it to be known that it's by your hands. That's why they said they got a big job ahead of us, see, right? Enough said on that. Go back to the line, look for the mothers, and bring the mothers in for another teaching, and go in for the close. And what you saying, WCC? Well, see, we got to mute somebody. We are mute DF Israel. How that sound? That don't sound good to me at all. When you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother E, Mother Z, Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh be to that, Mother E.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, or see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother E. Well, you know one thing about it, we always expecting big dignitaries always throw some on the table, so be it. Now, so we find out that Nebuchadnezzar in 587, when they had all big floor generals, everything taken back, the children of Israel, Yahdah Judah, to all their locations. So it's no accident you've been taken everywhere. Even today, you were taken over to places, and it's always you. But see, that's why we have to understand one thing. You need to know who the you is. And the world know about you, but they're not going to tell you. That's why I donate to this ministry, school, land, banquet hall, but we on the right track. Your loved one, your offspring, but we can bring an end to this thing. We're going to find out who are these bring the noble families to Portugal and Spain. I know you was already in Portugal and Spain, but they always want you there. Let me show you that you was already there. That's one of the book of Romans there. Marie, let me show you that you've been always there. Ain't nobody brought you where it was just new to you. You've been in every place all the time. Now, this is way.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Romans chapter. Find out something there, Mother. See, have the children of Israel always have been in places that they think is due to them. Let's look at a verse in Romans chapter 15, verse 24. All I need is two lines. Romans chapter 15, verse 24. Let me show you that way before 96 A.D., way before, you know, you always been in 70 A.D., you was there before 70 A.D. Let's even read some of that. Let's look at Romans chapter 15, verse 24. What does it say there, Mother E?
The book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you.
Stop it there.
For I trust.
That's something.
Okay.
That's good. So we're showing you soundly that Paul took a journey to Spain. But Spain is a polluted word. The word Spain and Spaniard and Spanish, all that's polluted for what word? Let me show you what word is supposed to be there. You always been in these places, but they always change the name on you. We see the word Spain, they're called Spaniard peoples. You precept that back to Isaiah. And let's see exactly what that word is supposed to be. That you is over there right now, but don't know it, but you will be knowing it through the Sixth Anointing Council. Let's see when you see the word Spain, what it's supposed to be, by going to Isaiah 66. We're going to Isaiah 66 and see what word is supposed to be there. And when you see the word Spain, it's a polluted word for what word? Let's see. Let's see what it's polluted for in Isaiah 66. Let's see what it's polluted for that we can read. Isaiah 66, verse 19. Let's see what it's polluted for. Isaiah 66, verse 19.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 19. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto a nation to Tarshish, Tarshish and Ludah, that draw the bow to Tubal, and they stand to the island after a far off that has not heard
right there, that's,
my
that's
name.
It. That's good enough. That's good enough right there. That's good enough right there. He said, I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that are escaped of them unto the nations of Tarshish, Pud, Lud, and draw the bow to Tubal and Javon to the islands of Far. Who are you talking about here? This is what you call Spain today. Run back to Genesis chapter 10, and let's find out who is Tarshish that you call Spain today. We're going to Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 3. Let's find out, let's read down until we find the word called Tarshish. Who is Tarshish? Because ain't nobody named Spain. Spain is polluted for Tarshish. But we're going to Genesis chapter 10 and find out who is, let's see, do Tarshish got a father? Pick it up at 10 verse 3. You're on the clock. Come on.
Book of Genesis chapter 10 verse 3. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Rephaim, and all Ann's Tugarmah were both, and the sons of Javan, Elishah, and Tarshel, Kittim.
Stop right there. Stop right there. You got the name Tarshish. Now who is Tarshish in verse 2? Who is Tarshish? Verse 2.
Wait a minute. You said, who is Tarshish in verse 2?
Yeah, who is Tarshish? Verse 2. Read verse 2.
The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog.
Stop right there. Stop right there. That's what Tarshish is, the sons of Japhetic people, Japheth. So that's what Tarshish is. Now, Spain, now the sinners of Esau took over the name and called you Spaniard, Spain. And they have hijacked it from the Japhetic peoples. They've taken their name, Tarshish, changed it to Spain, and now call themselves the Spaniard peoples, Spanish peoples. So you see what Esau do? He loved to take your name like he am taking your books. And now he can talk better with your books than you, because you don't know that the season have been put on you. And Esau is the greatest season of them all. Now, good. Now we got that out the way. Now we know what we're talking about. But they said they're going to bring some nobles back to Portugal and Spain. And both of them names is polluted because they're taking the land that belongs to the Japhetic peoples, that the children of Israel was over there, Yahdah Judah was over there all the time. Let's find out about these nobles. Who are these nobles that the world wanted that we can read? Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 17 and 21. Let's find out about these nobles that the world, they all want to in their kitchen, raising their babies. But they'll never tell you who you really are. But we're going to tell you who we are. Let's find who these nobles is that we can read. Nehemiah 13, verse 17 and 21. What it say, Mother E?
Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 17 and verse 21. Verse 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Yahdah Judah, and unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? Verse 21. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge you about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm. So the Sabbath day, folks, you go keep that day righteous. You might right. feel a little angry with somebody else, but you got to know one thing. On the Sabbath day, you have to put all that aside and say, you know, I was arguing with you, but I tell you one thing, the Sabbath day now, I hold my argument up until the Sabbath day is over. Then we get back to arguing again. Now, so one thing about it, so who are these nobles that the world wanted that we can read that, Mother Eden, in verse 17? Who's the nobles of the Bible that we can read in 13, verse 17? Who is the nobles there?
Yeah, Yahdah Judah.
That's why it's so important for you to understand when you're talking to Yahdah Judah, you got to tell them you're not African-American Negro, you are the nobles. See, that's the kind of talk, and that's why it's so important to have your fringes on, because them fringes going to draw those that are looking for some answers. And that's why it's so important to wear something on with fringes on. Have something with fringes on. Because Yahuwah is going to send them to you. You tell them you are not African American Negro in color. You are the nobles of Yahdah Judah. Big topic there. Now, precept that to Daniel 13. Precept that to, and you got to tell them this. You got to tell the nobles of Judah this that's written in Daniel 6:13. What does it say?
Okay, Daniel 6:13.
Yes.
Book of Daniel, chapter 6. Verse 13, then answered they them and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the chapter of Yahdah Judah, regard not, O king, nor decree that thou have signed, but make his pity three times a day.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So who is these peoples of the captivity by name there? And they have to understand that they have a name and they are of the captivity. They are of the captivity, that they need to know this. Who is this of the captivity by name there in 6:13 now, Mother E?
The captivity of Judah.
The captivity of Yahdah Judah. So you got to be able to tell them, you are of the captivity of Yahdah Judah, but you are the noble men and women of the Bible. See, we got
right.
to give them some good words now. Now, let's precept that, give them some good words. So that's why we have to be able to give them good words. Now, let's precept that to Zechariah. See, let's see, can we precept that to Zechariah there, Mother E? Exactly what we said. So we have to come on to get him some good words. Let's see, can we precept that in the book of Zechariah?
Mm-hmm.
You want to precept that to Zechariah? And see, can we read about some good words? See, that's what we got to be. The people that give them, to give good words. Let's see, can we read that somewhere in Zechariah? Let's see where we're going in Zechariah chapter 1. Let's look at verse 13. Let's see what it says in 1:13. Let's see if we precept that to 1:13. Zechariah 1:13.
The book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 13. And the Yahweh answered the ministering spirit that talk with me with a good word and comparable word.
Ain't that something? Hear that, Mother E? That's what we got to be. We got to be able to give out some good, comfortable words. And then we got to tell them something. If we got our fringes on, they're going to find you. Don't worry about that. Good words. Tell them what's written in verse 14 and 15. Now you got their attention. Now you got to tell them something in 14 through 16. Let's see what you got to tell them now. So now you got them. You got to give them good and comfortable words with your fringes on. And this is what you got to say to them in verse 14 through 16.
Verse 14, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. Verse 14, so the ministering spirit that communed with me said unto me, cry, you, saying, thus said the Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Yahdah Judah, the southern king, and for Yahdah Judah. And for Yahdah Judah, who do this Zion with a great jealousy. Verse 15. And I am very so displeased with the nations that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they kept forward their affliction. Verse 16. Therefore thus says the Yahweh, I am returned to Yahdah Judah, the southern king, with mercy. My family shall be built in it, said the Yahweh of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Yahdah Judah, the southern king.
Ain't that something? You see, so Mother Eve, we got to make sure we are always ready. We got our fringes on, got that old book closed by, to be able to tell the people who they are and how Yahweh is jealous for it. All the peoples around about you, they're at ease, everybody's skinning and grinning. But you see, them days will come to an end as them royal blue garments and them fringes that we put on somewhere on us, come on our sleeves, because them fringes draw the people. So now after they've been drawn to you, have to be ready to get them good and comfortable words on who they really are. So you gotta make sure you're ready to evangelize them, get them good and comfortable words. Let me read a little more recorded history. In 1492, King Theranos and Queen Isabella Castile expelled all Judah, dark-skinned and woolly hair, banned them from Portugal and Spain. And they is the one that started the transatlantic slave trade that taking them to St. Thomas first, then to Brazil. So your first two ships that you were taken to started by Queen Isabel and King Theranos of Castile, Castile. You was expelled from Portugal and Spain, and you was taken by the Pope, told these two kings and queens to take you to St. Thomas, then take you to Brazil. So the first place that Yahdah Judah was taken to was St. Thomas, west coast of Africa, to be seasoned real good, and from there to Brazil. So that is the first of you going into captivity in 1492. So there it is. But let's see what, let's go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 now, Mother Eve. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Let's see what's going on.
Okay.
Revelation 12, verse
17. Book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the Torah instruction of Yahweh, and have the testimony of Yahweh the Son.
He said a dragon was wroth with the woman, mad at the woman, and kept the Torah instruction. He was mad at them. What did they keep? What did they have that made them so mad? Let's back up to Numbers chapter 15, verse 37. Let's see why he was so mad at the children of the book. What made him dragon so mad at the children of the book? Let's go and look at the 15th chapter, verse 37 and 38.
Book of Numbers.
Yes.
15, 37, and 38. Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 37 and verse 38. Verse 37. And the Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and hear them, that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue.
Yeah. So now you know why when you was brought to the land, you were stripped of your clothing, and then you came to all the shores naked, because they were to make sure you don't bring none of your culture that you have that identify you, because when we said that we found these people bare butt, naked, you know, and running around in the jungle, then we could sell that propaganda today. No, see, right, you had on garments, and you were stripped of them garments to be, and then you were seasoned real good, and that's why you kicked the day at your strength. I ain't never known of people in the world would kick against their strength. But guess what we'll do? We are against our strength. Our strength is Isaiah 52, verse 1. Let's see what is our strength. I ain't never known a people that if he got a chance to have an ups on somebody, he won't take it. We the only people will kick it our strength. 52 verse 1 says what? Of Isaiah.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 1. Awake, put on thy strength, O Yahweh Judah. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom. The righteous city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean.
Because you know why they don't come to you? When they see you with them fringes on, they know the gig is up. See, Ray, do you see how plain it is? When the enemy peeps you, see what that phantom friend is on, they know the gig is up. They know we can put no time in even going near. Because we know right then and there, the gig is up on us. Because they got them fringes on. And when you got the fringes on, he just told you. Automatic in their mind is get back Jack. I got to go find the rest of them that's toting the Bible with no fringes on. And then I'll work them over. But the one that got the fringes and put on their strength. Because they're clear about putting on that strength. They know they got this. They got this. And we the only people who want to go into battle with our strength. We want to equalize things. Why would you want to equalize things he don't gave you the advantage? Let's go to the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. We're going to Ezekiel chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. Let's see what he says in Ezekiel chapter 16. In fact, read verse 1, make it sound good. Ezekiel 16, verse 1, then skip down to 13 and 14. Let's make a little small meal out of it, Mother E. You on the clock, come on.
Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1, 13 and 14. Ezekiel chapter 16. Verse 1. Again, the word of the Yahweh come unto me, saying, verse 13. Thus was thy day with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broadened work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper unto a kingdom. Verse 14. And they renown went forth among the nations for their beauty, for it was perfect throughout my commonness, which I had put upon thee, said the Yahweh.
That I put up.
15.
So that's it. In 14, he left a profound word in there, Mother B. He said, and thou, your, the children of Yahda Judah, Israel, thy renown went forward among the nation for thy what? For thy what, Amari? Let's see. For thy what?
For thy beauty.
Ain't that something, Mother E? What was the beauty, Mother E? Go back to 52, verse 1. Let's see what was the beauty. Back to Isaiah 52, verse 1 there, Mother E. You mean your renown went throughout all the nations for your beauty. What was the beauty, Mother E? And the 52, verse 1 of Isaiah. What was the children of Israel's beauty? What did it say, 52, verse 1?
Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Yahda Judah. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Yahda Judah.
Put on
the righteous.
Put on your what?
The beautiful.
Put on your what?
Garment. Beautiful garment.
So what was our beauty, Mother E? What was the children of Israel's beauty?
What you want to put in here, like on the fringes?
No.
The garment?
I'm asking a question. Wait, hold on. You said all the right thing. What was our beauty, according according to what we can read in 52. What was the children of Israel beauty that we can read in the 52nd chapter, verse 1? What was the beauty that we can read?
The beautiful garment.
Ain't that something? So you see what we undid, Mother E? That was, and Yahweh said, I'm the one put that on you, the beautiful garments. And the beautiful garments separated you from others because it was your beauty. And they knew they couldn't bring nothing to you with them garments on, that Bible in your hand. They knew that this day the real deal. The gig is up. So when you got your garments on and your 1538 numbers, now, when you got your garments on and your 1538 of numbers, what it say in 1538 of numbers?
Number 15. Okay.
Yeah, 38. Yeah, what it say in 1538? You got your garments on and your what in 1538?
Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 38. Speak unto the family of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of thy garment throughout
When you have on a garment, you must have what on them?
Fringes, a ribbon of blue and fringes.
Excellent. See, Mother E, so sometimes you might be seeing someone that have a garment on, and he might be perpetrating as being Israel, but you say, wait a minute, it's a little bit more. But you got to have the right, comfortable words that, sir, ma'am, whatever it is. It's a little bit more to it than just a garment. Then you got to be able to take them to 1538 and say you have to have the ribbon of blue with them fringes on it. You see that, right, Mother E? So we got to be, we walking on the walls, and we see the garments, but we want to see what else on the garments. What else on the garments we want to see that, Mother E? According to the Bible.
Fringes and a ribbon of blue.
Excellent. So you see that, Mother E? So you see why we got a big job ahead of us? Because you'll see a lot of them wearing garments, but they're not going to have the fringes on. But you got to take them to the side and show them that it's a little bit more to it. That's why the Sixth Anointed Council got to step it up and understand one thing. It's a little more to it. Because we don't see a lot of pastors on television with garments on. But then you keep looking down at that garment, get all the way down the bottom, and you say, hey, where the fringes at? Where the ribbon of blue at? See, that's the part we come in at. Yeah, the garment look real nice, but that's Babylonian so far. That you put a ribbon of blue and some fringes on it, then we know you own something. Then I think I might well listen to you for a minute or two. But I'm going to check you out. I'm going to look for some fringes with the ribbon of blue. So that's our calling card. And Yahweh going to kick in there, Mother E. See, when we kick in and be able to teach, people is waiting for us. That's why it's so important about the land school and banquet hall, where we can get on down the road. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 and 12. Let's see what's going on in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, 12.
5 and 12.
Yes, ma'am. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 and 12.
Book of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 and verse 12. Verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh. verse 12. Thus shall make these fringes upon the four quarters of their vesture, wherewith thou cover thyself.
What do you mean what are you talking about, make up the fringes on the four quarters of thy vesture? Let's see, can we analyze what he's trying to say by going to Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's see if we find out what he mean by that you got to have fringes around the four quarters. Because I'm telling you something, Mother E, you might be able to catch it. You'll catch sinners of Esau, and they're going to have on their garments or their suit coat four strings. And you want to make sure that you understand that that's propaganda. Say that's four quarters, but the string. No. I have to investigate that because, too, Mother E, the sinners of Esau, they got their little black coats on and stuff like that in their undertaker suit. And they got four strings going around. And they deceive the people, saying they are people of the book with these four strings, which is four quarters around a suit coat. But let's investigate what that means. The four quarters. We're going to investigate that and see what that means. We're going to Ezekiel chapter 5 and pick up verse 5 and 7. Let's see if we investigate what that means, there, Mother E.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 7. Verse 5, thus said the Yahweh, this is the southern kingdom. I have set it in the midst of the nation and counted that are round about her.
And the countries that are round about us. So the fringe has got to be what kind of way in the last three words?
The fringe has got to have a ribbon of blue.
No. What it said in verse 5, it got to be the last three words.
Oh.
The last.
Oh.
Yeah, last three words in verse 5.
Round about her.
Round about her. Round. So you got to make sure the fringes go, the four quarters mean around about you. All the way around, you got to have fringes on, not just one and one on and all that. No, that's trying to be slick. No, round about thee. See that? Verse 7.
Right.
Give me the last line in verse 7 for time. You give me the last line in verse 7 for time.
Okay. Verse 7.
The last line. The last line.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead and read the whole verse. Go ahead. Go ahead and read the whole verse. Go ahead. We got time. Go on and read verse 7. You're going to hear it twice. Hold on, Mother. Let me get in for a minute. You know, everybody try to be slick, but the time is up now. See, we got to book them up and book them down, and we are watching everybody from the pages of the book. Let's read verse 7 and see what that means. Verse 7.
Verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, thus said the Yahweh, because you multiply more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgment, neither have done according to the judgment of the nations that are round about you.
Round about you. So you see what you're talking about, Mother E. You got to put make sure the fringes on them are round about thee. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4. Closing statement. So time ran out again just as we were trying to stretch out there, Mother E. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, and a closing statement. What does it say?
Matthew chapter 6. Okay.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. And a close. Yes, ma'am.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Verse 1. Take heed that you do not your aim before man to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Verse 2. Therefore, when you do aim money, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have honor of man. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 3. But when thou doest aim, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Verse 4. That thy aims may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly.
What Yahweh is saying, when you do your alms, mean your money, tithes, free will offering, donation, you ain't got to let your left hand or your right hand while putting in you to do it. Then one thing, sweet C. Rayer. And school and banquet hall, donate to this ministry so we can help our loved ones, our grandbabies to come to school and sit down and understand who they really are. Tribal Yahdah Judah, Israel. And we're going to teach them. And we're going to tell them to put them branches on, because that's beautiful and your strength. Mother E, how about a closing statement until we get at it again Wednesday night, you on the clock, come on.
Thank you for praising Yahweh for Flash. Thank you for praising Yahweh for the seer. Thank you for praising Yahweh for each and every one that's in the class. And I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 5, and verse 9. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about the so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Look unto Yahweh the Son, the author and finish of our covenant, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh the Father. Verse 3. But consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Verse 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood strife against sin. Verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my sons and daughters. Despise not the chastising of Yahweh, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had father of our flesh, which corrected us, and we give them rather. Shall we not much rather be and subjected unto the Father of spirit and live? Hallelujah.
Excellent. Oh, listen, Emily. Listen again. Until we meet again Wednesday night. Remember one thing. We got a big job ahead of us. We got a peoples of the book. We are the nobles of the book. We must live by the book. Put them branches on and draw the peoples to you through them branches with them ribbons of blue. Until we meet again Wednesday night, for all the mothers, the brothers, the elders, mothers, and fathers, Yahweh be with you all until Wednesday night. Shalom.
Shalom.